Hello, I'm Tom Marshall, your host of Under the Scales. If you like Under the Scales, I recommend you check out our other 33 music podcasts waiting for you at osirispod.com. This New Year's Eve coming up, we're all going to be in Madison Square Garden again, but a lot of Phish fans, the moment the clock strikes midnight, will be remembering and thinking about an incredible New Year's event that happened 20 years before. I know I certainly will. In December 1999, Phish drew 85,000 people to the Big Cypress Indian Reservation in Florida's Everglades, making their music festival the largest millennium celebration on Earth. In Osiris's upcoming 20th anniversary series, After Midnight, Phish's Big Cypress Festival, we'll look back and pay tribute to this unique event and examine the legacy for Phish and the music world. Hosted and narrated by renowned music journalist Jesse Jarno, this four-episode series will draw on interviews with members of Phish, its crew, employees, fans, and many other conversations with people across the music industry. After Midnight premieres on November 12th, my birthday. Look for it at osirispod.com or follow the Osiris Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram accounts. That's After Midnight by Osiris. Look for it on November 12th. All right, welcome back to Under the Scales. This is the Lyric Dive episode number 4, if you're playing along at home. Right, RJ?
Yes, number 4.
So I'm here with RJ. Again, we're in the Philadelphia studio called Retro City, and it's just a place we love. This is the second time we've been here. RJ, you are going to grill me on my interpretation of 4 songs that I wrote, right?
Yeah, I think every time we do this, I have ideas of what these songs are really about, and they're never right, so it's fun for me to hear from you.
I want to this time make sure that you insert your meaning, okay? At least give, like, if I just gloss over it, stop me, because I want to know your interpretation, okay? Especially if it's markedly different than mine.
Okay, all right. Well, we ask people to submit ideas. We're going with the 1.0, 2.0, 3.0 pattern. But we do have a bonus. We have a bonus track.
I think we do.
We do. So we should. I think we're doing
2 1.0 songs today.
Yeah. We told people what the songs were last time. Should we let them be surprised this time, or do you want to tell them first?
I think we'll tell them. Let's start with Dirt, the song Dirt. And then the bonus track that we're going to do, our friend Dawn requested it, is Gayuti. And then we have Undermined from 2.0. And the song Light from 3.0. So is that a cool order? Do you want to dig right in?
Dig right in.
No pun intended.
Not intended. All right. Dirt, this is a heavy place to start. Or at least it is for some people, but this obviously debuted summer 97. And this is I think Scott Herman has credits on this one.
Yes. It's important to know that half these lyrics are Scott Herman's. In fact, I think the first and third couplets are his.
Okay.
So I want to start this one out with a version, the first version ever recorded of this song. And this was from Trey's and my recording session that was compiled from 3 recording sessions called Trampled by Lambs and Pecked by the Dove. And it's a couple sessions in 96 and I think one in 97 that all together made up that CD, which came out in 2000. This version, I believe, Phish played Dirt first in 1997. I love that first. I forget exactly where that show was. And then this is, of course, also on Farmhouse, which came out in 2000 as well. But here's the first version from Trampled by Lambs and Pecked by the Dove. Check it out.
I wanna live beneath the dirt, where I'd be free from push and shove, like all those swarming up above. Beneath their heels I'll spend my time. I'll wriggle in the earth and sometimes I will think of you, and if you ever think of me, kneel down and kiss the earth, and show me what this thought is worth.
Kind of gloomy, right? And it's important to know, you know, Scott started this off, you know, with I'd like to live beneath the dirt, a tiny space to move and breathe is all that I would ever need. And so he set the tone and I was sort of like answering him. You know, there's not a ton to interpret here to me. And that's why I'm very interested in hearing what you have to say. But basically, someone is dreadfully sad, right?
Yeah.
So sad because their desired lover doesn't really even acknowledge them, right? So to me, that's kind of what's going on. Do you want to speak to it or should we go into the lyrics?
I think we should go into the lyrics because I think that I had a similar but slightly different interpretation. But
maybe we'll tell yours at the end. Do you want to?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, I'd like to live beneath the dirt. A tiny space to move and breathe is all that I would ever need. I want to live beneath the dirt where I'd be free from push and shove like all those swarming up above. Beneath their heels, I'll spend my time. I'll wriggle in the earth and dew, and sometimes I will think of you. And if you ever think of me, kneel down and kiss the earth and show me what that thought is worth. So to me, it's like the ultimate resignation, right? And then Trey, like in Sparkle, which he said, the lyrics are so sad that he's going to make the happiest song in the world out of it. He does the same thing, kind of. He whistles in dirt. And to me, it's like, it's almost, he almost whistles well enough to make you forget that the guy wants to be underground forever. what's your take on dirt,
well,
RJ?
I guess, you know, to me, it's the like happy whistling intro really, like, you know, that kind of offsets it. Although, I guess to me, it's like, it's about, about death more specifically, I guess, than wanting to like be away from, so, or being, having a feeling of resignation, as you said, mostly because of the backing vocals.
Oh, Washed on the Shore?
Yeah, and Never Hear Your Voice Again.
Never Hear Your Voice Again.
Which took on different meaning to me after my dad died by a friend of mine named Alex, who might be listening, who had his dad also died. He like mentioned that to me once, and now I can't hear the song without thinking that, especially because of that line. But that's not part of the actual lyrics, or maybe those were
added. I think
it
is. No, that was part. Yeah.
So that to me is like a mourning someone who died while thinking about that you want to be there with them.
I believe that. I mean, to me, though, there's one thing that in the very, very beginning that makes it not about dying, and that is the very first line is, I'd like to live beneath the dirt.
True. It does say live right there.
Right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think people appreciate hearing this song, and, you know, when it's played live, which is not that often, it's a welcome song.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a sad song.
No, I think it's a, you know, it harkens back to 1.0, the Wonder Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on to Gayuti.
Let's do it. This is a lyrically and musically, man, this is a crazy one.
This is an amazing composition by Trey, and my lyrics sort of skate on top of it, but also become it as well.
Yeah.
which is really cool. I mean, I love this song. Do you want to hear the album version?
I think we should.
RJ, what album is this on?
This is on The Story of the Ghost.
Very good.
Coyote was the ugly pig who walked on me and danced a jig that he had learned when he was six, then stopped and did some other tricks, like pulling weapons from his coat and holding them against my throat. He lectured me in a language strange, then scampered quickly out of range.
So that's another whistling song, right, RJ?
There is whistling, yes.
So when you think of fish whistling songs, is this the one people think first, or do they think Reba?
Reba.
Or Dirt?
Reba first, then this, then Dirt, I think.
Yeah.
That's
and
my
is
opinion,
that all
anyway.
The whistling songs?
I think there might be other whistling songs.
I think that's to me the most, like Reba is,
yeah.
is the most whistly.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe there's more. Anyway, this debuted in 94 and came out on Story of the Ghost, like you said, in 98. But Trey and I wrote it long before. Well, he had the words for a while anyway, and I think it was like percolating in his head. And then he wrote it entirely by himself. And I don't know if he was on tour, because this was before Fish toured in Europe, but I know that he was like on a vacation, but he was definitely in Europe. So the words go, Gayuti was the ugly pig who walked on me and danced a jig that he had learned when he was six, then stopped and did some other tricks, like pulling weapons from his coat and holding them against my throat. He lectured me in a language strange, then scampered quickly out of range. So this is a very serious topic, and you're laughing.
I can't help it. It is, you know, homicidal pig.
Yeah.
It's very serious.
So who is Gayuti? I guess that's like the question that's begged. And Trey said it was the guy that punched me in the face on Church Street in Burlington, Vermont at like 1 a.m. in the morning. It was the day before I was going to sing at a Trey show at Higher Ground. And that guy was ugly and scary and on meth. And I punched him back in his huge nose and he got arrested. But Trey wasn't there. So he only said that based on hearsay. Plus, Gayuti was written long before that happened. I think that was around 2001 or 2002. But anyway, so Trey wrote Gayuti at the same time as My Friend, My Friend. And I think it was like in 1991 in Europe. And that's the story that I've heard anyway. But this is a lyrics episode, and I don't know much about the actual song composition apart from what we already said, which is that it has multiple parts and it's awesome. And so he had both sets of those lyrics from me, and he just did this all himself, and then I heard both of those songs.
Mm-hmm.
So those are sister-brother songs as well. So what's it about? He's definitely some screw-up, this Gayuti, right?
Yeah.
And he's got it in for me. He walks on me and pulls weapons on me and lectures me. He's pretty much a terrible person to have around. And then it gets dark, like very dark. The next part is the dark part of the song.
I'm bouncing like a newborn elf.
I can't remain inside myself. Coyote glances in my eyes and manages to hypnotize.
And it can be brutal in concert. I've suffered. It's like dissonant and scary. And, you know, you have to go through hell before you get to heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, like Steve Miller said, big old jet airliner, you have to go through hell. So the hell lyrics are kind of whispered in an evil incantation. I'm bouncing like a newborn elf. I can't remain inside myself. Gayuti glances in my eyes and manages to hypnotize. And then just like that, the spell is broken, right? And for the last verse, and the music gets downright triumphant.
Me as I sleep the sleep of death. He sucks from me my only breath that I have breathed since I was 10. I hope this happens once again.
Although it isn't clear, did Gayuti win? Did you trick him by playing dead? And why, oh, why would you ever want this to happen again? he manages to hypnotize me as I sleep the sleep of death. He sucks from me my only breath that I had breathed since I was 10. I hope this happens once again. And of course, that's another one of his lyrics, like you're happy that we're here from No Men. That gets a reaction from the audience. But, I love that. I'm proud of Gayuti. Gayuti, despite his, you know, extremely foul disposition, holds a place near and dear to me. So tell me what you think of it.
Well, no, the whole question was, you know, it's a threatening pig who possibly is going to kill the narrator, or maybe does kill the narrator, but then doesn't, and then it ends with, I hope this happens once again. So
it's like, so why?
So why?
Because the song is great.
I think the music, it's interesting because the music, the sections that you mentioned, like directly reflect the lyrics.
Yeah. I think Trey was definitely, this is what I think happened. I think he's got this amazing memory for lyrics. Like he can read several pages of lyrics and then he'll say to me, like at a songwriting session, I'll arrive with maybe 20 pages. And then he'll say to me all of a sudden in the middle of a song we'll be working on, he'll go, how about the one about the blah, blah, blah. And I'll have no idea which one he's talking about. And it'll be like five ago that he only glanced at once. So what I think he did with this was he committed it to memory just in that place that like he and Paige and Mike and I guess Fish too have for lyrics. They're so adept at remembering them. And he was probably also at the same time, you know, traveling and he had his guitar and he was probably going through parts and he probably let the parts write themselves based on the lyrics. Because, you know, dance to jig, and there's definitely a jig sound to this. Yeah, for sure. And so I think he liked the lyrics enough that he wasn't going to release it until he had a music piece worthy of these wonderful lyrics. Well, patting myself on the back.
No, I think it's...
Using the term wonderful loosely.
It's a great... it's like a great piece, you know? It's a composed piece, but with the lyrics to match.
It is. And it was kind of like people had been waiting a little bit for Trey to write another, you know, You Enjoy Myself or Fluffhead with multiple parts, and boom, it came out.
And it hasn't been played that much. It was played a lot in 2009 through 2011, including a famous Gayutica show from Utica, where they played it, and then it showed up in teases throughout the show. But they've only played it once in 2016, not at all in 2015. So only like once a year, two in 2018 and one so far this year. And probably that's just because it's like such a complex song to remember and play. I mean, it seems to me like it would be...
They definitely have to rehearse before they play it. They can't just sort of... This isn't one that they can just pull out, I don't think.
Yeah.
Like Fluffhead. You know when you hear Fluffhead that the band has gone over it a few times.
And that's why I think Trey has said in the past, like, He doesn't know why he writes these like incredibly complex songs, because then he has to go back to them and, you know, re-remember them or learn them or remind himself at least.
Right. When I talk about like, hey, Trey, are you going to go see the Rolling Stones? You know, they're on tour again. And he kind of would shake his head and goes, oh, man, they've got it so easy. You know, they have to play like Jumping Jack Flash and Angie. And he has to play Gaiuti and Fluffhead.
Yeah, and Foam. And, you know, there's so many really complex. I mean, that's what makes it great. So thanks for the background on that, because that's a really, I think, a cool song that is pretty unique.
Totally.
For Fish.
Oh, my man. It's like it reeks of Fish. It's like it's Fish.
Yeah.
There's no other band that could sound like that.
Yeah. So the next one is Undermined, another Scott Herman collaboration, I think, similar to Dirt. One of the most unique Fish songs in terms of lyrics, I think, and just because it's just has an interesting format.
It does, and when I heard, so you know, people chose this on, like we said, on Twitter or the internet, and compiled. And then you were the one that sort of curated those. And I was actually surprised to see Undermined for a lyrics dive, because to me, this is one of those that doesn't really have sort of a big, you know, depth anyway in terms of the meaning. However, there's a little bit of a story, so I can definitely do that.
I think that's good.
And I'll take a crack at you know, deciphering these lyrics.
I think we're here for the stories.
Okay. All right. We're here for the stories. So can't do the story without playing Trey's and my original version of this. So I'll give you a little background. This is again in Nantucket. This was 4/13/03. So Trey's and my original version of the song, we played the drum track together and we had a real drum set. Sometimes Trey has those Roland V drums, which aren't real. They sound really good and you can make them sound like other things. But I love it when there's a real drum set there, and there was. And so we each had, you know, drumsticks, and we're both sitting down targeting a different, like, part of the drum kit. And Trey just pressed go and, you know, pressed record, and there was no guitar or bass or anyone else in the room. We just knew we were laying down a foundation for a new song that we were about to write. And so the jam was fun, and as it progressed, we sped up. And I'm happy to admit that's my, you know, error. Trey's a better drummer than I am. That's one of those things that, like, you know, good drummers have trouble avoiding. It's like speeding up or slowing down. But this one is markedly sped up, and you'll hear it's like, you know, the band relies on a drummer to keep time, and Fish is amazing at it. But sometimes himself speeds up when the song needs to, and it's kind of refreshing when this happens, you know, as opposed to like the click track looping era we're in, where you can't ever be in anything but perfect computer guided time. But this one takes the opposite of that to a funny length. But anyway, listen to this version of Undermine, and it's funny how you have to cram in the last lyrics because we speed up so much, and Trey has to speed up his guitar riff. And I also love the three, and in some places I almost hear four-part harmony that Trey and I are singing here. So here goes.
Undisturbed but undermined, relocated, not retired, reprimanded and rewired, mystified and misshapen, misinformed but not mistaken, reinvented, redefined, rearranged but not revived. Not mistaken, undecided, undefined. Undecided, undefined. Mistaken, reinvented, reinvented.
boom. So, like I said, that was written in Nantucket, 4/13/03, and Secret Smile, Sense, Spread It Round, and a bunch of other songs were written that day. So, like, a prolific day for us. But to me, Undermine was sort of like an extra, like a dark horse, not definitely not a throwaway, because we both loved it. It was something compelling, but I was really surprised when it became the title track of an album, like the title of the album.
Yeah.
And that was, I was really happy to see that. And this debuted, they waited for Phish to play it until they came back from their hiatus in Hampton in those March 8th, 2009, I think, shows. But it had been released on the album Undermined in 2004, of course. And then Trey, I believe, played it even before that with Tab.
Yeah.
I think at the Hammerstein.
Yeah.
And that was like my one concert. And I've also seen, I've been to the Hammerstein twice, and that was one of them. So like you said, Scott Herman wrote these with me. And if I recall, it was like an exchange, sort of like an exercise. We're just having fun. And as you can tell, each stanza has a different prefix.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts with un. So undecided, they're all adjectives. Undecided, undefined, undisturbed, yet undermined. And then the next one, and this could be him or me, but it switched, but I don't remember who started this. Relocated, not retired, reprimanded, and rewired. And this is Trey's favorite. He loves this one. Mystified and misshapen, misinformed, but not mistaken. Reinvented, redefined, rearranged, but not refined. Unrelenting, understroked, undeterred, yet unprovoked. And then it repeats after that. That's all the lyrics, basically. So like I said, for a lyrics dive, not really a deep pool to dive into here. But I will say, when Phish came back after the long break and they rolled this out in Hampton, relocated, not retired, and also reinvented, redefined, did actually seem to be about them for that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And it's like a study in contrast to me. And it's really, it's a very unique Phish song.
Yeah.
Where, you know, very few lyrics, but also just like no real pattern except for the prefixes.
Right.
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 But it does seem like it's like going back to this, but not that. And I don't know. I don't know that there's a lot more meaning to it to me than that. But I also really like hearing it because several times it's turned into amazing pieces of improvisation, most famously in Dick's 2012, which is to me one of the best jams of the current era. So I think every time it starts, people, you know, similar to No Men, like we talked about last time, has the potential to be a huge piece of improv, which is always exciting.
Yep, absolutely. And I like how kind of it was written, at least in the room with me and Trey, around that really cool bass sample that he found. That's just that boom, huge, and it repeats throughout the song.
Yeah.
And we loved it, and we knew that had to be in a song. So that's Undermined. We got one more now from 3.0, right?
We do. And this is, there's a lot, because we started talking about this on our first couch report that we did, the meaning behind this song, Light, which I think we should say, I don't know if it will be played at Dick's, but pre-Dick's, the 100th version of Light was played at Alpine Valley this summer. So happy 100th to this song.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool, given that it, you know, it's been around only in this era. So that's a lot of times played, but also the lyrics, I think, have quite a bit of a story and meaning behind them.
Yeah, like unlike Undermined, which I said was like a shallow pool, this one like has its own diving board built in. It's like, it's very deep. So let's dive in. So this one debuted also after hiatus, but after a little break after those Hampton shows, and it was played in 2009 at Fenway in May. And of course, it came out on the album Joy in that same year. So Trey and I wrote this separately, this song Light. That is, I gave him the lyrics and he wrote the song. The funny thing is, though, he kind of gave me the lyrics.
Hmm.
So I'll explain. I think in 2007 or 2008, in the middle of hiatus, I was up in Trey's apartment in Saratoga Springs. He lived there briefly as he was finishing his court-mandated legal situation involving his arrest in 2006 and his subsequent sobriety. I was just thinking, he's got to be 13 years, right? 2019, 13 years sober now. Congratulations, Trey. Amazing. Anyway, there are some groups of thought about the best ways to become sober, and there's no question that it involves a deep look inside oneself and into one's own spirit, and it can awaken a spirituality or nudge it anyway. And I think I saw this happening in Trey. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I was always closed-minded to matters of one's spirit, at least any commercial way to approach it. You know, like, and that's what I considered, like, churches or religious books or organized religion. Although I wasn't closed-minded enough not to read them. Like, I've read the Bible and taken Bible classes, but as a historical book, if nothing else. So Trey reading Buddhist books and other stuff like that seemed to me a welcome alternative to the Christian-based 12-step stuff that I'd heard about. And you have to accept that God is in control of you and there's a higher power, etc. And really quickly, I'm not in any way dismissing it. I think it's remarkable how well the 12 steps method works. And I have a very healthy and happy best friend because of it. And I have a very healthy and happy close family member as well because of it. So whoever came up with it seems to have found the magic formula that works for thousands and thousands of people. So please don't think I'm at all discounting the power of accepting the higher power. I was just excited to see Trey exploring what I thought were non-traditional higher powers, so to speak. And one of these avenues he was exploring in search of himself led him to have a book nearby that he handed to me, probably because I was asking him tons of questions about spirituality and his discoveries. So he's like, here, read this, then we'll talk. So I did. And it was called The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And boy, oh boy, Mr. Tolle did not make a convert out of me. I found it to be extreme mumbo jumbo, like repetitive, poorly written, with no roadmap to follow, really. But in some way, I assume like it made Oprah, like Oprah talked an entire episode about it, about how it changed her life. And I assume it provides people like insight into a method for realizing and making sense of their situation and existence. Maybe I didn't need it, and so it didn't make sense to me, but it does make sense for some people. And before I completely trash it, please realize that this book has helped, like I said, thousands of people to find some peace of mind, and I'm most likely wrong. And like Fish Songs, especially you, RJ, I urge you to determine your own interpretation. So I urge you to go read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle and not listen to some dude on a podcast telling you it sucks. Because I'm not. I just plain didn't get it. So anyway, here's a sentence. I wrote down a sentence to give an example. It is a misperception of your essential reality that is beyond birth and death and is due to the limitations of your mind, which, having lost touch with being, creates the body as evidence of its illusory belief in separation and to justify its state of fear. So I'll admit that sentence seems like there's some meaning, right, hidden in there that might provide a reason to chase it down and read it and reread it until you fully understand what was said, until I tell you that every sentence in the book is like that, nonsensical to me and not worth turning inside out for a hidden meaning, because there is none. But after I read it, I was able to immediately write all the lyrics to Light. So I thank Mr. Tolle for that extremely. So I guess the book did work for me when you think of it.
That means the lyrics to Light are sort of like the Cliff Notes version.
Yes and no. I mean, so he found power and strength in realizing that realizing that his mind and his self are separate entities. And that existing in the now eliminates all problems. So like literally all problems will disappear if you're wholly in the now. So I think this supposedly is a roadmap to being able to live in the now. And it wasn't for me. Anyway, those building blocks formed the song for me. And I handed the lyrics to Trey and he loved it. And an amazing version, I love the studio version of this. It's incredible, is on Joy. Let's hear that really quick.
I can see the light between me and my mind. I can feel less and less there, and the past has vanished in the air, and I'm left in the now with a wondrous glow. I think I'm
just a few moments of whirling around till your feet finally leave the ground. And fending off fears and hearing the call.
So the lyrics. I can see the light between me. Well, first, did you want to say anything?
No.
Okay. All right. So the lyrics. I can see the light between me and my mind. I can feel memories fall behind, and the light is growing brighter now. I see the future is less and less there, and the past has vanished in the air, and I'm left in the now with a wondrous glow. And I think I'm still me, but how would you know? It takes a few moments of whirling around before your feet finally leave the ground, and fending off fears and heeding the call, and finally waiting for nothing at all. And the light is growing, and the light is growing brighter now. Obstacles are stepping stones that guide us to our goals. Fences are filters that purify our souls. Heavy, right?
Yeah.
And light.
And light. and you know, optimistic and intense.
Yes.
And how much of this was written for Trey and how much of it was written for your own writing? Is that a fair question?
Yeah.
Because it feels like it is a little bit of a reference to Trey's journey, or maybe it's just to the human journey. I don't know how you were thinking about it when you wrote it.
So I was trusting the muse. And in this case, the muse was like the ideas I had gotten from the book.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was very excited to give it to Trey.
Mm-hmm.
And to see what his, you know, comments or reaction to, you know, to perhaps his view of my view of the book.
Yep.
Honestly,
you're giving him a book report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't think that ever happened.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Trey ever said, "Oh, cool. So you like the book."
Yeah.
I don't think it ever happened. And we never really did discuss The Power of Now after that. Unfortunately, maybe we should. Trey, let's talk. We still have a conversation. You owe me.
But this is, I mean, it's such a great, musically, it's such a great representation, I think, of the last 10 years of Phish. You know, it's positive and optimistic, and on the musical side, maybe like the jam vehicle of the last 10 years. Like there are dozens.
No Men in Light, in a way, occupied that same sort of role.
Yeah, and there are dozens of versions of this song that are notable or essential to the last, you know, 10 years of Phish improv, that I think it has a whole entire sort of legacy of its own, which is pretty cool. But I think, similar to Backwards Down the Number Line, I guess, this seems like it was one of the songs that brought you and Trey back together in terms of the writing you were doing and maybe a new kind of direction of the messages that you were kind of communicating.
I think very much that you're right. I think there's sort of like a you know, there's an element of spirituality to this. Trey more overtly gets there, like with his Ghost in the Forest stuff,
mm-hmm.
and with some of the other songs, like, you know, about Soul Planet, all
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
I think I like being a little bit more oblique or obscure, sort of. But yeah, definitely I think it was hearkening to the beginning of that era of writing.
And the last part, which I think are sort of backing vocals, the obstacles are stepping stones and fences are filters. Is that part of the overall message, or is that, because it does seem slightly like a slight departure, but still part of the, that makes me think of it more about a journey moving forward than like the more metaphysical stuff about separate mind and body, which is crazy to me.
It definitely came like to me at the same time as the rest of it did.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I had to trust the muse. The interesting thing about that, in terms of the way it was put together musically, if you on the album, and if you listen to it live, you'll see that Fishman says, obstacles are stepping stones. And before he finishes singing, like halfway through that phrase, Mike and Paige sing that guide us to our goals. Yeah. And then he sings, fences are filters. And before he finishes singing, they sing that purify our souls.
Yeah.
Even though that's like, it should be an extended thought, they come on top of each other a little bit. Trey did that in the very, very first super demo version he gave me. And then when they went into the studio, he said, hey, check it out, and played me a version of it. And it didn't have that. It had them singing it all the way out.
Oh.
And I was like, what happened to the layer thing? And he's like, what are you talking about? And fortunately, I had the original that he had sent me, and I isolated just that cool part with the layering, or that would have been lost forever. Yeah, because they had already recorded a version in the studio. So he made them go back and redo it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm really happy that that was saved.
And live, that works so much better.
It's so cool. Yeah.
Really cool.
Absolutely.
I think it's just really cool that the light is growing brighter now as the last sort of line of the song that you hear into an amazing jam as this band came back in 2009. But now still, it just has this great positive message that we're going to, keep going, and that it's the beginning of a new era.
I think so. And as Chris is turning the light brighter.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is nice.
So awesome. This is really fun, Tom. And I have 14 more songs to ask you about, but I won't do that today.
Let's not do it today, but I look forward to it. And thanks so much. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And thanks, everyone, for making Under the Scales number 27 on the iTunes. I was really honored to see that. Breaking into the top 30 was kind of neat. I don't know if we can possibly break to 20, but let's try.
Let's try it. Share this episode with your friends and family.
All right. Thanks a lot. Osiris.
This podcast is In the Loop, the Legion of Osiris podcasts. Osiris is creating a community that connects people like you with live experiences and podcasts about artists and topics you love. Get in the loop at osirispod.com.